So as a ranch rider, we're looking for quality of movement, we're looking for natural carriage, and a big thing that we look for, because you can't teach it, right, is expression and attitude. You know, they should be good with their ears, they should be engaged in what they're doing, and still look very trained and very broken. That's a very fine balance.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey.
This episode of The Ride is brought to you by DECRA. DECRA is a global specialist in veterinary pharmaceuticals and related products. Our expertise is in the development, manufacture, and sales and marketing of high-quality products exclusively for veterinarians worldwide. We are driven by our purpose of sustainable improvement of local animal health and welfare. DECRA's equine portfolio is diverse and focuses on mobility, joint health, reproduction, anesthesia, dermatology, ophthalmology, and fluid therapy. Our key brands include Zycosyn, Osphos, ProVet APC System, Orthokine VetWrap, Equidone Gel, and Vetivex Fluid. DECRA's rapid growth is fueled by these key products and others in the portfolio, as well as recent highly successful acquisitions. We continue to grow because we understand the challenges veterinarians face, and we give them what they need. DECRA provides continual training and support to help veterinarians help animals. For more information, please visit www.decra-us.com or call 866-933-2472. Welcome back to The Ride. I'm your co-host, Emily Carey, and joining me and Nicole Cherico, we have an amazing guest, Shannon Quinlan-Hill. She's a professional trainer specializing in ranch and reining horses, and she has been on fire lately with standout performances at the All-American Quarter Horse Congress and other aged events throughout the year. Together with her husband, Shannon operates a successful training business, and the two have racked up more than $250,000 in lifetime earnings. Let's get into it to see how she built her career and what keeps her motivated. So for listeners who may not be familiar with you or your background, Shannon, can you share how you first got involved in horses and what drew you into the show pen?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a horsey family in Massachusetts. Both my parents and grandparents were involved in horses. Growing up, both my parents judged, taught lessons, had training horses, ran horse shows. My mom had a boarding facility, and my mom's focus was hunter jumpers. My dad's focus was also the hunters, but he also had Western horses and did cow events. So I grew up in a diverse home for sure, but always involved in horses.
So you grew up in a hunter jumper background, but it sounds like you had a little bit of cow experience as well. Was your focus as a kid, were you mostly competing in the hunter jumper stuff? Were you kind of doing everything? Like what kind of spurred on your desire to do kind of the all around the reining, the ranch riding kind of stuff?
So I did a little bit of everything growing up. I actually started showing when I was three. I was lucky enough to be exposed to showing a lot of different types of horses and levels of horses. I would say I grew up riding mostly English, and I got my first reining horse for my 11th birthday. And from there, you know, I did focus on the reining through my 13 under years, and then did a little bit of everything. We did, I continued with the hunter jumpers, continued with the reiners, some cow horse events, some cowboy races. I would do anything that involved riding a horse. And thankfully, I got exposed to sale barn horses. I rode at an auction barn for a long time, young horses, problem horses. My mom had a lot of thoroughbreds off the track. So I was exposed to a lot of different things. And then I decided I liked the Western horses better and took my very first assistant job with Jeremy Gates. I wasn't even out of high school yet. I was still doing online high school. And I never looked back to the English from there, really.
With your English background, how have you been able to apply that kind of English foundation and then transition it over to like a more Western focused kind of riding?
I think it helps in the ranch riding a lot because quality of movement is so important. And it seems like a lot of my horses extended trot really well. And I think a lot of that I can attribute to riding the hunters and having that base. I think that makes me familiar with that gait and how to maximize it.
Yeah, for sure. We've talked to quite a few people. Like Alexa Maxwell was on the podcast not too long ago. And, you know, she came from more of that all around background, but definitely, you know, having that English side really helped her kind of make that transition into the ranch riding events as well.
For sure. And I think it helps in the trail too, you know, finding those spots to the jumps and the logs, and we have to extended lope logs. And that is a familiar feel to me. So that helps me a lot.
So talking about the mentors and the influencers who have helped you kind of along the way, what have they kind of left with you that you've then taken into your own program?
So it's hard to single out a couple mentors. To be honest, I feel like all of my colleagues, whether they realize it or not, help me along the way. There's so much to learn from so many people, and everyone has their own strengths and something they're really good at that we can apply to our program and use. You know, we like to stay with our program, but I might see something at a horse show and I might be like, that might work really good for my horse, and I can apply it and mold it into our program. So that helps a lot. I try to make time at each horse show to watch everyone prepare in school and see if I can catch anything new that might apply to one of my horses. A few of the specific people that come to mind are Matt Lance has helped me exponentially. So he has a reining background as well, and also made the transition to the ranch, and he's involved in associations. He's a carded judge, and there's a lot to admire about that. That's where I want to end up in life too. And he's helped me a lot between business, getting involved with judging and horses a lot. Terry Cross and Rhonda Rapogel are always a phone call away for me as well. And I so appreciate them, whether it's, you know, a sounding board for me in situations, whether it's clients, horses, business, they are always extremely helpful and very knowledgeable, and they help our program a lot. And having those eyes on the ground, all three of them have been great eyes on the ground for me and for Brad. And that's important. You know, everybody sees something different when they watch a horse, and everybody sees it from a different perspective. Right, whether it's from a judge's perspective or a horse trainer's perspective, I think it's important to hear all of that and to apply it and have those eyes on the ground to help and tweak things as we get ready to present the horses to show.
So you've kind of mentioned a couple of different people who come from very different parts of the quarter horse industry, with, you know, Terry doing a lot of the all around, and and you mentioned, you know, reining, and then Rhonda, I think, is doing a lot of ranch stuff these days, back when I was showing quarter horses, you know, she was an all-arounder. And how have you been able to kind of apply all of these different backgrounds to kind of fit your program specifically, since you are so focused on those reining and ranch riding events or ranch horse events?
You know, I think there's something from a lot of those disciplines that also apply to the ranch. So, for example, in the trail, I didn't grow up doing AQHA things. I've never shown a city trail horse. I've never even rode a city trail horse. So when it comes to working on the logs, specifically the slower logs, the jog logs, and the walk logs, that's not something I'm familiar with. You know, I'm not familiar with training techniques to keep them careful and focused, and how to best present them, and how to do my part as a showman and a rider to help them through those things. So, like Terry, for example, has been a huge help with that and has helped me refine some things in that category that I'm not as familiar with. And Rhonda's helped us a lot by, you know, this is what the judges want. This is the AQHA standard, and helping us, you know, keep reminding us in that direction about how to best present them.
Yeah. And let's take a step back, because you grew up doing everything. You've learned from a lot of different people, a bit of everything again, and you saw your parents, you know, run a successful business. What was there a turning point that made you say, okay, I'm going to go out on my own, start, you know, become a professional and start doing this, you know, as a career?
No, to be honest, it was always going to be that. I never wanted to do anything else. It never was a thought to have another career. My parents and my grandparents both, I think, gave up on me going to college very early. They said, nope, she's going to be a horse trainer. And it was a non-discussion, to be honest. I started taking training horses when I was, you know, still in the 14th or 18th. I was probably 14 and enjoyed buying and selling even at that age and helping progress my own string by trading out of one to get another one. That's all I've ever wanted to do. So it was never, there was never one point in time I said, I'm going to go do this professionally. It was just, that was always the answer for me.
I love that you're like, my parents just gave up and were like, yep, this is it. This is what she's doing. So
yeah. And my family is fantastic and completely understood, and they never pushed me to do anything else ever. But I think it was established early on that this was the only direction I was going to go.
Well, okay. So speaking of this direction, you grew up doing all these different events. You were in the reining. Now you have obviously made a very strong mark in the ranch horse events. Can you kind of talk about how your business kind of transitioned over to those ranch horse events? And honestly, let's just talk a little bit about the growth of these events. You know, like 5 years ago, we just had ranch riding, and now we have ranch trail, ranch rail. You know, we're seeing so many more events coming into these, you know, stock breeds.
Absolutely. I can't say that it was a conscious change to focus more on the ranch horses from the reining as it was a natural progression. I was very lucky to show and train a horse named Blackjack Booty in the ranch events early on. He won Congress in 2018 and was second in 2019. And I think it was a natural progression from there. You know, I started liking it better. You know, that horse, he had already done the reining. He was a little over the reining. So we were looking for something else he could excel in. And he was so broke and had such good expression and was carried himself very uphill. He was made for that class. So he was my segue into that. And then I learned that I really liked it. And we ended up getting more and more training horses focused in that direction. And I think that's what skyrocketed the ranch riding for me. I've always had an appreciation for a well-broke, useful, diverse horse. And I love the concept of the horse being natural, carrying themselves uphill, and promoting quality movement and brokenness. So I think that's how I ended up getting drawn that way. And I think that the ranch horses, it's such a good segue either into or out of the reining. So I think when we first got into it early on, it was very useful in that way. And now here we are training horses specifically for ranch riding and breeding horses specifically for ranch riding, buying and selling horses for ranch riding, and they might not ever see the reining pen. You know, I think the training philosophies parallel really well. You know, we ride our ranch riders. They have to have all the same tools as our reiners do. Personally, we might not run and stop or turn them as hard as the reiners do. We have a little different expectation there, but they all have the same tools. So I think it's segued into the ranch riding for us really well. And we still have a lot of horses that go and do both. We have some horses that just rein and some that just ranch ride, but the majority of our horses in our training program now do both events.
I've had this conversation too with Bud Lyon about having horses in both the reining and the ranch horse events. And it's a really great cross training, you know, kind of tool. Like these reiners, they get burnt out because they're doing essentially the same patterns over and over and over. But by being able to kind of take them and then place them into that ranch riding pen where the patterns aren't necessarily going to be the same, and they're not always going to change leads in the middle of the arena, and they're not always going to spin in the middle of the arena, has really kind of, I don't know, brought a little new life into their, you know, when they go compete.
Exactly. It keeps them fresh. It keeps them interested. And with there being so many ranch classes now, you have the working Western rail, the ranch trail, the ranch riding. And then if you break into the VRH, you have the cow classes, the VRH reining. I think it keeps them fresh and it always keeps them interested. And they walk into the pen saying, what are we doing today? opposed to a lot of the reining horses eventually get where they walk into the pen and they know what's coming and you have to combat that as a horse trainer, where the ranch horses stay a little more honest, I think, because of the diversity.
Absolutely. Like, the mentality of it all is just so completely different for these horses as well. And that kind of leads me to my next question. You mentioned earlier, you know, what you're looking for in a ranch horse and all those different qualities that you like to. How would you describe your training philosophy? Like, what are you looking for to do to bring out the best in these horses?
So as a ranch rider, we're looking for quality of movement. We're looking for natural carriage. And a big thing that we look for, because you can't teach it, right, is expression and attitude. You know, they should be good with their ears. They should be engaged in what they're doing and still look very trained and very broken. And that's a very fine balance. And, you know, I think Brad and I are really good at letting them be individuals. They don't have to fit a cookie cutter program here at all. And each horse has their own program and their own style and their own way of going. And we're just here to help them find what works best for them and to be able to present them best as an individual. And I think our program focuses a lot on them having confidence in themselves and in us. You know, if they have confidence in themselves walking in the show pen and confidence as us as a pilot, you can go call on them and ask them for big maneuvers and ask them to step up, and they're confident doing so. And like in people, confidence comes from repetition, preparation, and from us doing our jobs as a horseman to put them in winning positions, both day-to-day training and in the show pen.
Kind of going off of what you just said, we've talked a lot about the philosophy with when it comes to training horses, but you obviously work with a lot of non-pros. You have owners, you have horses, a lot of horses in your barn that are not owned by you guys. Can you talk a little bit about how you've kind of built up your non-pros and kind of helped them get ready for the show pen so that they can be successful as well? Since, you know, training the horses is one thing, getting people ready to go in the show pen, totally different.
Absolutely, yes. And I think a lot of that is about finding the right team. You know, it can be a great horse and it might not match that rider, or it can be a great rider and it might not match that horse. So I think a lot of it is a team building process, and it goes right back to confidence, right? You know, if the non-pro has confidence in their horse and their maneuvers and how they're going to ask and the plan going into the show pen, that makes the horse confident, and the horse is confident in the rider that they have a plan. And I think that comes out in the show pen. When I get non-pros ready to show, I've always been very big on tell me your pattern. And don't tell me your pattern like I'm going to walk in, turn right, turn left, trot off. I want to hear it in detail. Tell me your pattern and how you're going to ask for things, where your eyes are going to look, which banner are you looking for? Are you going to take a breath here? How are you going to set them up to change leads? And I want to hear it multiple times, because if it gets where it's muscle memory, you can go in there, and if something doesn't go right, you can easily move on to the next maneuver. You have the plan in your head, and that goes back to the horse. Right? You know, if you can stay mentally present in the moment and the horse can stay mentally present in the moment, a lot of good stuff can happen in the show pen. And I think that goes for us and our non-pros.
And you've also, you know, you started as a professional by yourself, but you've mentioned Brad a couple times as your husband, that's your partner in your business. Mm-hmm. You guys both compete, you both train. Can you talk a little bit about how your business has evolved since you guys have joined forces, and, you know, where it's kind of taking you in the future?
I attribute so much of our program success to the fact that Brad and I get to work together side by side every day. We each had a training business prior to joining forces here. And since we've joined forces, I think it's, you know, the growth has been amazing. It's so helpful to have that other person there all day to bounce ideas off of. And again, it goes back to eyes on the ground. It might not feel like it looks. He might see something different and prioritize something different in that horse's training program or how it needs to be presented. And I think we do a really good job hearing each other out on that. And it's also so helpful in the fact that if one of us doesn't get along with a horse, or we're in a sticky spot with a horse, the other one might get along better. So I think that is very valuable to our customers and our horses, that it, if it doesn't fit me or it doesn't fit Brad, it doesn't have to go find another horse trader, because it will probably fit one of us. And maybe sometimes horses need to go back and forth. And same thing with coaching styles for a non-pro. I might say something different and Brad might say the same thing with the same base, but say it a little differently, and it might resonate differently to somebody. Brad and I are always after the same feel and result in the horses, but we each have a unique way of getting there. And we're lucky. People say working alongside your spouse has challenges, but honestly, we have never experienced that. We can still make sale videos and sale pictures together and like each other at the end of the day.
Now, you talked about your incredible relationship with the horses, with your husband, with your non-pros. And I think that's so important, because without all those relationships, you can't reach any level of success without, you know, that support system backing you. And that kind of leads me into the next question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me into the next question. You know, you and I talked at the beginning of the month, but for our, when I was writing that article for that Congress championship story, and you had such an incredible Quarter Horse Congress this year. You underwent an emergency appendectomy days before showing, and then went on to win a plethora of championships, top finishes, including the Congress all-around horse champion title, which made history, because everybody's talking to me, the horse that won it, first range horse to do that. Can you walk us a little bit through what that experience was like?
It was wild, for lack of a better word. we were going to move things in on Wednesday, move horses in on Thursday. Tuesday night, I got not feeling great and felt it was best that I went to the hospital. It was pretty unbearable. And there were, you know, surgeons came in and said, you know, we have to take your appendix out. And in my head, I'm going, well, can it wait 2 weeks? Like, I have things I have to do. And they're like, no, it has to come out right now. So I ended up going to surgery Wednesday night around 5:30. And Brad was amazing. He stayed there for that. As soon as I woke up, he went to Columbus, set up, turned around, came back, picked me up at the hospital 9:30 Thursday morning. We came home, loaded horses, and went back to Congress. So without him, this Congress would not even remotely be possible. And we had so many other people in our corner, which was incredible. It was very humbling, and I'm still speechless about the amount of people that stepped up to make this year possible for us. You know, showing for me, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to. It was just a bonus to even get to try. And the fact that it all worked out on two different very special horses to me was incredible. I didn't show on Saturday. I sat that out, and I wanted to show. My two important days were Sunday, Monday. And I tried to ride Saturday evening, and it did not go very well. I was a fish out of water. Nothing was working. And I told Brad, I said, I'm going to show tomorrow. And he was like, what's going to be different 12 hours from now? I was like, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to be able to show tomorrow. And he prepared it. At that case, it was Big Shot. Everybody's talking at me for the first class. Was a 4 or 5 year old stakes. He prepared him perfectly. He was, you know, that horse really came to the forefront for me. He was prepared by several different people that week, and he went on to win two classes, was reserve and top three. I mean, he won over $20,000 at Congress, which was incredible. But that horse and I have always had a very special relationship. And I think in that moment, he knew that I needed him, and he stepped up and he made it happen. Daytona 500 also won the three-year-old ranch riding, and same thing with that horse. I like being very hands-on with the horses that I show and my open horses. I want to saddle them. I want to wrap them. I want to take care of them at night. I want to hose them. I want to prep them. I'm very type A, and I'm very specific about my open horses, and because I want that relationship with them. I want them familiar with me. I want to know what kind of mood they're in. I want to know all the little quirks about them. And I think in this moment taught me a few things. One, that relationship with those horses is extremely important, because I think that was the driving force that those horses felt confident in me to step up and go show, even though I was not very helpful to them. But it also taught me that maybe I can relax a little bit and other people can also be involved and it can still go well.
Oh, it's hard to like loosen those reins. You put all that work in and you're probably I can't imagine how the stress and nerves was eating away at you during that.
Yes, for sure. And it was stressful, but it was really neat. I've been the only person to show both Big Shot and Daytona, and Brad got to show them both at Congress. Brad prepped Daytona for the Futurity by showing him the Level 1 Junior, and there was 100 horses entered that. He ended up top five. And then he showed Big Shot in the Junior Ranch Rail, and he was third out of, you know, so many horses. And that was really neat for me to be able to see that I've created the confidence in those horses and that Brad and I can work so well together to create that success and it go work for somebody else too. That it was a different kind of reward. And I think it taught me a lot that, you know, my horses are ready. I have done my homework and maybe I can, like you said, loosen up the reins a little bit. And it doesn't have to, I don't have to be quite so type A.
I feel you. I'm type A too. I have to, literally, I can tell you what my horse is thinking or doing just by the way she's eating. I get it.
Right. Yes. And I think that's so important, right? You know, I want to be able to do that. But this taught me too that sometimes less is more. You know, I have a tendency of over-preparing. And in this case, I couldn't do that. I hardly could prepare myself at all. And it showed that those are two very, very special horses and that we did our homework and that they're ready and they're confident show horses and they stepped up to the plate. And I'm so thankful for all the owners, Janae and Dominic Pugliani own Big Shot, and they were amazing because it was a little uncertain if I was going to be able to show or not. And same thing with Debbie Kufer, who owns Big Shot. They were amazing through this whole process because the whole thing was a little touch and go. You know, I wasn't sure, is Brad going to show? Are they not going to show? What's going to happen? And same with our other owners all week. I was supposed to show several horses and we made adjustments as the week went on and found catch riders and Brad showed some. And everybody was so accommodating and understanding. So I think that's important to our success as a program too, is we've built an amazing base of customers and owners and everybody is all on the same team and supportive. And I think that's a really neat environment to be a part
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. It's interesting. We talk to a lot of people, professionals and the community of their barn and the communities that they've built within their programs has just, it's always something that the horse trainers want to touch on. And I just love that because, you know, you wouldn't be there without your community and they're here to help kind of lift you up, especially in times where you have emergency surgery before the largest single breed horse show in the world, which
right.
And so it's so incredibly, you know, important that you were able to build those relationships and have that trust. And so it's really cool to hear. You're going next to the World Show. We're talking to you right now. It's the end of October. I don't know if this will release before the World Show, but you are literally home for like, what, a week? And then you're going to Oklahoma City. You might already be in Oklahoma City. Hopefully no more emergency surgeries, but what does the World Show look like for you?
Well, I'm figuring out what organ I can sell if it means, you know, that much success again. But we move into Oklahoma City next week. We don't have any amateurs going this year, so we get to stay home a little longer than maybe some of the other ranch programs. But we're excited to get there. We're bringing five horses, and we're excited to get them, get to showcase them again. You know, I think the two studs feel really ready, and Brad has some trail horses that have had a lot of success this year already. So we're looking forward to getting there and getting to show them again.
Yeah. And we've kind of touched on the subject of the ranch classes, you know, the ranch rail classes, the ranch trail classes. What do you enjoy most about showing in all these ranch classes? Do you like prefer the patterns, the versatility? What draws you to it the most?
I think the ranch riding class is my favorite. Personally, I think all of the ranch classes, they promote what a show horse should be. You know, accommodating to several different classes, broke, handy, attitude and expression is first and foremost for us. You can't fake that, right? So I love that the ranch horse promotes that in a show horse, and that they can have their own style. And I think that's important too, because that allows a lot of horses to be showcased and have success in the ranch riding. And I think quality of movement is something every discipline should promote, but it's really neat to watch the quality of the ranch horses continue to grow. And I think that's a great thing. People are starting to breed for them. People are starting to buy specifically for the ranch classes. And I love that it kind of goes back to the attitude and expression, promotes a happy horse. You know, they're interested in their job. It's not a lot of repetition. They get to do the trail. They get to do the ranch riding. They get to do the rail. And it allows a lot of horses to shine. You know, having those three classes, maybe this horse is a great trail horse, but not a great rail horse. They still have a class they can go be extremely successful in. And I think that is really great for the industry.
Absolutely. It just gives more people reason to attend. And like we've mentioned kind of earlier, where you were taking some of those reiners who were burned out and needed a new job, and who knows, put them over a couple logs and they end up really liking it. So it's just really cool.
Exactly. And I think with the reiners too, they have to be a little more cookie cutter. And the reining is just like the ranch riding, getting so competitive that finding your competitive reining horse and making your competitive reining horse sometimes puts them in uncomfortable situations. And I enjoy the training process for the ranch riding personally better than I do for the reining. You know, I think it allows them to come on at their own speed. It allows them to build confidence. And, you know, it goes back to them being able to be an individual, where I think the reining, yes, they can have their own style and they can be an individual, but they have a little bit of a different job. It's a little more intense.
Absolutely.
And not every horse can handle that. And the ranch riding gives that horse that might be still an extremely quality horse and a great show horse, but maybe doesn't like the intensity of the reining, it still gives them value and a chance to go be a high-end show horse.
I think the other thing too that I really like about the ranch horse events, it's not age specific, right? Like in the reining, you have your three-year-old events, you have your derby events, and that's where all the big money is. But you can take a horse that's 10 years old and never competed in a ranch riding and go win the biggest events in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the ranch riding is starting to add the three-year-old events, the four-year-old events, and the aged events, and put a lot of money into those, which is great. And I think that's natural progression. We personally like to focus on the young horses. So we love that the industry is starting to support the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds. But that being said, I also have a 16-year-old gelding that reined his whole life and is now being extremely competitive in the senior ranch riding. And how cool is that, where maybe he wasn't going to do the reining anymore physically, but he loves to horse show. This horse is a show horse. He does not want to retire. He does not want to be a lesson horse. He wants to be a show horse. And this allows him to be able to still go do that and be competitive.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned it earlier, how these classes are exploding. They're drawing in more and more people, creating more and more classes and more opportunities for everyone to be competitive. Where do you see Branch going in the next few years?
I think there will be a growing focus on the aged events. You know, there's a lot of futurities popping up. There's maiden events popping up. And there's more and more money being added, which is fantastic. But I do foresee Ranch still being and having a level for everybody. Specifically, the International Ranch Horse Association that is owned by the Paint Horse Association. It is all breed, but ran by the Paint Horse Association, is working on leveling, you know, leveling for riders, leveling for horses. And I think that will be a great thing. And the ranch horse is ready for that. You know, we have enough participation. We have enough support that we're ready for the levels. And there's going to be classes for everybody, you know, maybe not specifically AQHA quite yet, but in the IRHA, there's going to be walk jog classes and levels within the open classes. And I think that's the next thing for the ranch riding. And I think that's the next needed thing for the ranch riding. And like I said, we love focusing on the young horses. So we love doing the futurities and the age events. And NSBA just created a BCF program for the ranch horses. So I think people are going to start breeding more for them. And that gives, again, you know, the aged event horses a chance to go win money. You know, people are paying a lot of money for these things and want to be very competitive. And it's nice for them to be able, you know, to see the progression in the added money over the last few years, to be able to make some of that back.
Absolutely.
And that being said, you know, I think the ranch riding is a great stepping stone. Either stepping up to the reining or the cow horse events, or stepping down from the reining and the cow horse events. I think it goes both ways. I think it's a great class for that. And I do foresee it still being a place for everyone. You know, I think people are worried about, oh, it's getting really competitive now and it's changing. And it is, but I think there is still a class for everyone. There's a class for every horse, and you can take a horse that maybe can't go run and stop a one and turn a one, or you don't want to go run and stop a one and turn a one, and you can come to the ranch horse classes and be competitive and take it as far as you want to.
It's just so inclusive. And I think that's also why you see a lot of people who traditionally did more of the all around events, the city trail and all of that, now branching out and having more ranch horses, because there is just so much excitement around it, and it's inclusive and people are excited. Like, they just want to do it.
Yes. And the professionals in the ranch horse industry are amazing. You know, the camaraderie between the professionals and the customers, it's a really good feel. It's a family feel. It's a friendly feel. We're all friends. We all help each other. And I think that's part of what's grown this to be so popular, is it is a very nice, laid back group of people, and the professionals included. Like even at Congress this year, I was obviously down and out. Brad needed a lot of help. There wasn't much I could do to be helpful. It was amazing the amount of professionals that stepped up to make this horse show possible for us. And I don't have experience in the other AQHA events. I'm not sure if they're that way or not, but I think that is so important. And I think if we continue to stay that way, and I sure hope it does, it's just going to keep growing.
We had Sandy Jerkowski, who is obviously super involved in the International Ranch Horse Association, on the podcast.
She's like one of my heroes. So.
She's wonderful. But everything you just said, it just echoes, you know, her sentiments about the growth of ranch riding and how it is a community, and it is a excellent stepping stone for riders of all levels, either if they're stepping down or from, you know, the reining, cow horse, and those, you know, more intense sports, or looking to step up into them.
Right.
So I do think that's very cool. Everyone we've talked to, and obviously Nicole's talked to a lot more people than I have, but they've all really said that same thing about the ranch and about the community and the family that it creates.
It is, and it is such a cool feel. You know, all of our customers are friends with customers in the other programs, and on days off, we all go and find an activity to do close by, and it's just, it's a very nice feel, and it's a feel I haven't gotten in any other industry. So I think that's unique to the ranch riding and a big reason as to why people are starting to want to get involved.
Yeah, for sure. It's a sport that, you know, draws you in, really create a space for everyone.
Exactly. And every horse.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Shannon, before we let you go, for those who might want to learn more about you or follow you along on your journey, do you have any websites or social media handles that people can follow you on or look you up?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook on Hill Performance Horses, or one of our personal pages. Everybody's Talking At Me also has a page, as does Daytona 500. So any of those, you can reach out to us and we'd love to chat, or come over to us at a horse show. You know, come find our stalls and come say hi and chat. And if anybody ever needs help, we're happy to do so.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. I know it's a crazy busy time of year for you without the additional emergency surgeries. So I appreciate you coming and talking with us. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Thank you to Dekra for sponsoring this episode of The Ride.
Thank you guys for tuning into The Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.